It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Yep, we're going to hear from James Shaw. And today he's speaking to Sherry about economic support for businesses and a green COVID-19 response. Sherry begins by asking James how things are going as Parliament has been suspended since a state of emergency has been declared.
So the House rose when we declared a state of emergency, but we did set up a special select committee, which Simon Bridges, as the leader of the opposition, is chairing, and Marama Davidson, my co-leader, is on. And the idea behind that committee is that its job really is to uphold the principle of parliamentary accountability. And so we've had a series of people go in front of the select committee, like Ashley Bloomfield, the Minister of Health, David Clark, and Grant Robertson's been up there with the Secretary of the Treasury. And the idea is that, you know, that select committee is sort of asking probing questions of the government, make sure that that continues. The thing that isn't happening, of course, is that because the House isn't sitting as a whole, we're not getting through our legislative agenda. And so there's a number of things that have been parked up or delayed as a result.
In a state of emergency, there's a lot of new rules being passed and a lot of decisions being made. And so is the select committee, do you think it's adequate enough in terms of questioning these? Obviously, a lot of decisions coming out.
Yeah, there are. I think my sense is that it's working pretty well. They've been asking some pretty pointed questions, and my sense is that that is ensuring a level of accountability. In fact, some people have said that, bizarrely, because of the nature of the committee working over Zoom and the fact that it's had to make up its own process, it doesn't inherit a sort of a 200-year-old process the way that other select committees do. It's actually flowing a bit more effectively than others. I mean, the other thing besides having that parliamentary accountability, of course, is the media. My sense is that the media are doing a really good job of testing the government's strategy and tactics in terms of how we're dealing with COVID-19 and how we're starting to shape the economic recovery. And there are issues that have been raised in the media that, you know, the government has then responded to. So I think overall that's working pretty well. I have to say, I am as concerned as anybody about how the economic situation is affecting the media, and the kind of collapse of Bauer Media last week was a bit of a shock to everybody.
Yeah, because that was something I wanted to talk about today. Obviously, we're seeing, for example, in New Zealand, we're seeing substantial cuts in staff, and there is support from the government in terms of that. But then, yeah, the sudden closure of Bauer, which obviously employs a lot of New Zealanders, and I think a lot of people are concerned that this might happen with more companies and more job loss.
Yeah, I mean, we know that. And Grant, when we were sort of first setting out the wage subsidy scheme and the various support mechanisms for business that we've been rolling out over the past few weeks, he did say, look, we're not going to be able to save every company and every job. And the fact is, we just don't know how long this is going to run for. And we also don't know what the situation overseas is going to do and how that's going to evolve. And of course, that will affect New Zealand. So even if our strategy here works and we effectively eliminate the virus inside New Zealand and kind of life returns to a semblance of normalcy, we are a trading nation. We are hugely exposed to the global situation. And so we know that no matter what happens and no matter how successful our strategy is, that we are in for a severe economic downturn, and that will come with a closure of some companies and quite a lot of jobs. And so that it's incumbent on the government then, and we're working pretty hard on this, to pump a lot of money into the economy and to support industry and to work out things for people to do and ways to make a living until the global situation starts to right itself.
It's a fair point that it doesn't operate in a vacuum, obviously, in New Zealand. I guess in the meantime, of while trying to figure out, you know, what's happening internationally, what is being done during that very difficult process for a lot of companies and a lot of businesses and a lot of people, which probably feels like being in limbo.
Well, it is, and in fact, there's actually a new measure that we're introducing, which is an option for companies to essentially go into a form of legal limbo and to kind of cease trading for a period of time if they can come to an arrangement with their creditors to say, well, actually, we're just going to put everything on ice until things kind of change. And the point there is, through no fault of their own, there are going to be a lot of companies who would otherwise go into insolvency and go bust. And what we want to do is actually preserve those companies if we can through this period. You would have seen a lot of coverage already about things like the wage subsidy scheme and the various supports that we've put in place, like childcare provisions for essential workers and all of that kind of stuff. But ultimately, that's not going to solve every problem. It is just a really unfortunate situation that we find ourselves in. The government is putting just an extraordinary amount of cash into the economy and will continue to put more in over the course of the next 12 to 24 months. And we will be paying for that for the next several decades. And I think that'll help. And I think it'll help to return us to a more sort of normal situation sooner than we otherwise would if we didn't do that. But ultimately, we are in for a pretty rough road ahead.
Because this cash that is being put into is where money was coming from. So,
where that cash is coming from is simply debt. So we are borrowing just a colossal amount of money. And again, as Grant has said, it sort of shows the value of it when times are good, keeping your debt load comparatively low in order so that when there is a crisis, you can leverage up quickly. And that is exactly what we've done. So prior to the crisis, our debt was running just under 20% of gross domestic product. It'll be considerably higher than that within a year or so. And that's just the nature of it, right? Now, having said all of that, if the strategy works, we will be in a position where we're able to pay that back, because we'll have kind of robust economic activity and people pay their taxes and so will companies and so on, and that'll kind of get recovered over time. But it's a lot of money.
In a slightly different vein, I was just having a read through the Greenpeace's petition for a Greenford response. Is that something you've had a chance to look at?
Yes, so I have seen the Greenpeace petition and the economic package that they've proposed, and also Forest and Bird have sent us a sort of a similar proposal for how we might direct the recovery package. They're both really strong sets of proposals, and it's something that we've got to take account of as we think through what does the economic recovery look like. We have this tendency when there's a crisis on to say we just want things to go back to the way they were before. And the problem that we've got this time is that when it comes to, in particular, climate change, we're actually out of time. And if we just spend billions of dollars putting exactly the same economy back together again that we had before the crisis, then we're locking ourselves into a really high pollution pathway, and we're not going to be able to take the kind of action on climate change that we need to. So this time we have to rebuild the economy and support people back into work in ways that actually lock us into a low pollution future, because we're basically out of time.
What might some of these pathways might look like under a more green kind of direction forward?
Well, for example, we know that we're going to spend quite a lot of money in the domain of transport. And if we just do the same old sort of projects that we've done for the last 100 years, then that will inevitably lead to an increase in our transport emissions. But actually, we can make sure that we direct that money towards public transport in our main cities, which is way more efficient way of getting people and freight around a city than the kind of sole use of roads, more active modes of transport like walking and cycling and all of that kind of jazz. There's that. There's in the domain of energy, it's time to build that distributed grid, lots more use of solar and wind. We know that as we try to decarbonize the economy, that it's going to require electrifying things that currently use different forms of energy, non-renewable forms of energy, and so we can take this opportunity to do that. And we also know that other things like planting trees, which we've got a pretty big program for, are very rich in employment prospects. And so all of those things are areas where you can see a lot of jobs created in comparatively short period of time, but deployed in ways that are going to not just generate employment, but also help to resolve some of our long-term challenges.
A concern some people might have is, would we be sacrificing a bit more of a green pathway forward at the cost of having rapid economic growth after this obviously difficult period?
Yeah, that is a concern that's being voiced. And I think people have learned, you know, lessons from the Christchurch rebuild and what we did during the great financial crisis of 2008-2009, that the kinds of activities that were undertaken, some of them went well, actually others of them had unintended consequences, both environmentally and socially, and we don't want to repeat those mistakes this time.
That was Sherry speaking to co-leader of the Green Party, James Shaw. And again, if you guys have any questions for the Green Party, text in 5395 or call 309 3879, or even questions for co-leader Marama Davidson, who's sitting on the Epidemic Response Committee.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.